More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, seeking solutions. Are you struggling to find answers to the problems you're facing in your life or relationships? We're going to help you get clarity. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to learn.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're seeking solutions with you. Are you having a tough time in your life or relationships with a problem you don't know what to do about? Have your efforts to address a particular problem or concern just made things worse or been unsuccessful in some way? You know, often the key to solving a problem is the way we actually frame it in the first place. So let us help you find the solutions you're seeking. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, the idea of framing a problem in the first place. You know, most of us, when we deal with problems, we're upset. We react. We do one of several things. You know, we scream and yell, we charge in, we passively aggressively hint at solutions or that there's a problem. There's all sorts of ways that we normally approach a problem because we see a problem and we just react to it, hoping that it will get fixed. The idea of actually framing a problem, coming up with constructive possible answers to the problem, dealing with people in a constructive way normally escapes us when we're hit in the face with a problem because our emotional temperature goes up because problems are disconcerting and scary and threatening.
Well, and in addition to reacting to things emotionally, a lot of times we sort of start out by making the problem too big. You know? So one of the first things that I and my associates do in the counseling practice is have clients try to identify specific goals that they want to address in the counseling. And, you know, inevitably, people will say things like, well, my marriage, you know, is the problem.
I have to fix my whole marriage.
You know, as opposed to being able to say, well, you know, these parts of it work and these parts of it don't, so how can we zero in on those particular things? You know, or even saying, you know, we argue too often. It's still too big a problem, right? You know, well, what do you argue about? You know, are there things that you do discuss successfully? How could you use those skills to address this? So, you know, framing a problem in a way that's actually manageable, that has a clear idea of where you want to end up when you've solved the problem, and then identifying the steps between where you're at and where you want to be, are all parts of framing a problem well so that you can find solutions. But when you're stuck in that reactive place that you were talking about, Lisa, it's really hard to break down problems in ways that allow us to find solutions. So we end up just reacting to the thing, hoping to get through it, and then we're just so glad that it's over with that we don't want to think about it again until it hits us. So we're constantly surprised by the same darn thing happening over and over and over again.
Or sometimes we really do put all all the pieces that you've just discussed into play, and yet the person or people that we have to solve the problem with become highly reactive anyway, and then they're the ones who are elevating everything or shutting everything down or just making more problems. So even if we're doing what we think is our absolute best, what do we do when they're not? So whether it's a problem you're dealing with on your own, in your own heart, in your own mind, or a problem that you have to deal with others, and you can't control what they're doing, and it's frustrating you, we're here to help you find solutions today to whatever is a problem in your life that's making it less than what you believe God wants the situation to be. You can give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And again, the title of the show today, Seeking Solutions. If you're struggling to find answers to the problems you're facing in your life or relationships, we want to help you get clarity. You know, sometimes the fact is, whether the problems we're encountering are big or small, we just don't know what to do about them. And sometimes our efforts to address those problems are unsuccessful or even make things worse. If you find that you are in that situation with something or somebody in your life, and you're ready to break through, you really need to just find some answers for how to address that issue with that person, how to approach this particular challenge in your life in a more effective way, we want to help you find the solutions you are seeking. 877-573-7825. And of course, every day on the program, we look to the insights that we can gain from St. John Paul the Great's Theology of the Body to give us some light on the subject of the day. And of course, today is no exception.
Well, of course not, because God always wants to help us solve our problems. And so when we look to the theology of the body, it reminds us life is about growth, as terrifying as that can be sometimes. Our goal as Christians has to be bigger than just getting through the day. In everything we do, we're called to be receptive to pursuing God's plan for our life and our relationships. Inevitably, that means being intentional about seeking small changes that we can make every day so that we can become the people God is calling us to be and let His perfect will be done in our lives. Each day, we need to prayerfully ask, how can I respond to the events of this day in a way that allows me to bring my life and my relationships more in line with God's plan for me? How does God want me to be different today? How can I do a better job bringing His love into my life? How can I challenge myself and those I love to become healthier and more grace-filled people?
You know, and that can be a lot sometimes to really think about. And, you know, sometimes we're tempted to just sort of do it on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that writing down the answers to those questions that come to us in prayer can also be tremendously helpful, because then we can track the small steps we're making to bring about important changes in our life. You know, the reality is God tends to help us solve big problems in small steps. And by keeping the big picture in mind and taking intentional, tiny, daily steps toward fulfilling that vision, we're able to unlock the path to living a more authentic Christian life.
Well, and I think that's so true, and we even see it in Scripture so much, right? These things that the people were thinking, what are you talking about, Lord? That could never work, this small, weird step. You know, Moses keeping his arms raised, or sticking his staff in the water at the Red Sea, or, you know, times in Scripture where it was, you know, go bathe in this water, or I'm going to stick mud on your eyes, you know, or march around the wall of Jericho several times. Like, just things where you're thinking, God, I don't know what you're doing here. Like, this doesn't seem right. But when we can, as you said, Greg, not just do this, even prayerfully on the fly, which means sort of in our heads, letting all the noises in our heads spin around, when we can write it down, that's when we're bringing prayer and real thought to God in a way that He can help us sort things out and really kind of, you know, sift the wheat from the chaff. What is the stuff God's really asking us to do? What can we do to make small steps instead of just all the worries that Satan puts in our head when we try to do it without writing it down? Because we can say, well, what can I do to draw closer to God and make myself and this other person healthier and holier today? And we can sort of hear God, but we can more loudly hear Satan screaming, that won't work, and they're awful, and you know all these times that it didn't work before, and you're going to end up in more trouble than you did if you try. And all of his noise can be sorted out when we start writing that down in a time of prayer, and we can begin to let the Holy Spirit have a louder megaphone and be clearer in our lives. Because God really does want to be part of finding the solutions to every problem that you're facing in your life or your relationships. And we want to help you get that clarity today. So give us a call here on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls in the name of the Father, and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today, and we bring to you all the challenges we face in our life and relationships, where we feel stuck, where we feel confused about how to approach those problems in a graceful, proactive, effective way. Lord, help us to stop reacting emotionally to all these situations, and instead respond proactively and effectively to these challenges. Help us to hear what you're saying to us through our feelings, but also help us to keep that big picture in mind, that image of who you see when you look at us and our life, so that we can, with your grace, take those small steps every day that close the gap between where we are and where you're calling us to be. We ask for the clarity, for the wisdom, and the courage to keep walking that path, holding your hand as you guide us step by step to the solutions that we are seeking. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and
in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we're helping you seek solutions. If you're facing a problem in your life or relationships that you just don't know what to do about, or if you've been trying to address this difficulty with this particular person or this issue in your life, and you've been unsuccessful in making any progress, or maybe you've just made it worse despite your best efforts, let us help you identify the next steps in addressing that problem. The number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Mary, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida on AveMariaRadio.net.
Hey, Mary. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. How are you?
Doing great, thank you. What's your question?
Love your show.
For us?
Great.
Thank you.
Love it. I was calling because my husband's Catholic, or was raised and baptized as a Catholic, and he's lost his faith in his life. And interestingly, I'm actually an Episcopalian who's actually really exploring Catholicism.
Interesting.
So we're in a kind of a strange place because I'm starting to wonder if we're, as the phrase is, unequally yoked.
So how does this play out in your relationship? Where is this causing problems specifically? Because it could go in a lot of different ways.
Well, you know, he doesn't want to hear anything about God in the house. Not allowed to mention God. Not allowed to talk about God.
When did all this start for him?
I have a suspicion, but I'm not sure, that it might have happened when he was a young person. And
I'm confused though, Mary, because you're saying that he was. Has this been an issue your whole relationship, or is this just starting now? Because I got the impression that he was Catholic, and then something
like
happened
at the beginning of your marriage. But
marriage. It's been
okay.
Whole marriage.
Oh, okay.
So you were actually of two different faiths entirely. You being Episcopalian,
yeah.
Him being just, you know, labeled Catholic, but he never really lived it. And now, as you're in your marriage, you're really discovering your faith and your relationship with God more deeply, even edging toward looking at Catholic teaching and what that means to your heart. And suddenly, as you do this, he's just putting a roadblock between you and your faith or any discussion of God or faith in your home, and you're finding that frustrating. Is that what I'm
Correct.
Hearing?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. Let's take it off of religion for just a second and talk about any other situation where you guys don't see eye to eye. Do you tend to be able to work through those issues and come from a place where you're seeing things differently and then work to a place where you can see things, you know, more similarly and come to a mutually successful solution? Or do you tend to either just have to agree to disagree or kind of do your own thing as long as you don't, you know, step on each other's toes too much?
The latter.
Okay. The reason I ask that is because when people describe these kinds of problems with religious differences and all that, it's very often not a religion problem. It has more to do with a respect issue. When you respect somebody, you try to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty and the things they find true, good, and beautiful, right? So marriage researchers call this accepting influence. You know, Lisa might bring up something to me that I don't care about or I'm not interested in, but I love her, and I know that she's got a good head on her shoulders. So, you know, I'm going to assume that if there's something that's important to her, there's some merit in it or some value in it. And so it's my job to kind of figure out what that is and then work together with her to figure something out.
Even if he finds it irritating or it goes against his comfort zone. And same for me, because we respect each other. And we've made promises to each other. We're called by God to stretch and to do that.
So bringing this back around to religion, you know, where there's respect, what happens in a dynamic like yours is, you know, the more faithful spouse might say, look, you know, I know this isn't your thing, but, you know, I'm really rediscovering my faith, and would you be willing to pray with me? And the other spouse might roll their eyes a little bit or drag their feet, but they're like, you know what, honey, if that's really important to you, sure, I'm willing to do what I can. You know, just be patient with me. It's not where I'm at, but I love you, and let's give it a try. And then, you know, you work together through it. What you're describing is he just randomly says, you know, I this isn't allowed in my house. You know, I'm not going to talk about this, or don't you dare bring that up. And that indicates, you know, a pattern where he's not just saying that about religion. He says that about other things, and so you confirmed that. You know, the reason that's important is because if you just say, well, this is a religious issue, then, you know, immediately you get kind of the responses of, well, you know, you can't shove religion down somebody else's throat. And of course you can't. But you shouldn't have to try. If you're in a relationship with somebody you respect, they're open to these sorts of things. And so the reason I'm bringing this around is because I think that you want to address the deeper issue in the relationship. You know, in those other things, you know, if you have a disagreement about where to go to dinner on Saturday, you know, you're willing to just sort of give in. Right, because it doesn't matter that much to you. But when it comes to faith issues, all of a sudden, you're not willing to give that up. You know, because you feel God's presence and you want to love Him more. And so suddenly, this becomes a huge flashpoint because you've always been willing to capitulate, and now suddenly you aren't. And
that's frightening to the person who's so shut down. So they may even escalate. You know, you may see a greater level of disrespect, or at least perceive it that way, as you pursue God, because they're scared. Not only are you not just capitulating, but you're also honoring somebody you think is a higher authority and more important than they are, so that feels threatening as well, and it escalates, and so it comes to your observation, you're noticing much more clearly.
So your first step is to go and address that issue with your husband directly and say, look, you know, I thought this was a religion problem, but I've suddenly realized that really this has more to do with the fact that you struggle to respect me in general. And maybe you don't mean to do that, but that's the way it comes across. I bring up something and you tell me that I'm not allowed to talk about it, or that's stupid, or that's not right, or, you know, you just deny what my concerns are. And I need you to look at that because that makes me feel really disrespected and that has to change. If he gets defensive about that or is unwilling to address it, then that means you're going to need to seek some professional marital counseling, because that will mean that he doesn't respect you enough to see you as a person who's worth listening to. And in order to move forward, you're going to have a non-biased professional kind of in there checking his reality and saying, you know, what you're doing is unacceptable. You're going to need that third party in there to try to, you know, to give you the strength to keep asserting your needs in spite of his disrespect, and to challenge him on that disrespect and narcissism that tries to write you off as a real person. So try to address it directly with him first. We do talk about some strategies for this in our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. But I do think that it may come to the point where you need some professional marital advice, in which case seek out a good marriage-friendly therapist in your area, or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'd be happy to help as well. Thanks for the call, Mary. I hope this gives you some insights on the next steps to take. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to call us back here on the program. or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We have to take a break. When we come back, we are continuing to take your calls about seeking solutions. If you're having a problem in your life or relationships that you don't know what to do about, if your attempts to address those problems have been unsuccessful or made things worse, we want to help find the next steps for you to address those problems gracefully and successfully. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls right after this. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and we are taking your calls today about seeking solutions. If you're struggling to find answers to particular problems you're facing in your life or relationships, if your attempts to address those problems have been unsuccessful or made things worse, we want to help you find the next step to addressing that concern gracefully and effectively. The number to call, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Adriana, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas.
Hey, Adriana. Welcome to More to Life. What can I do for you?
So as I explained to your screener, I've been married 27 years. I have suffered through two bouts of infidelity, my husband. In a program that I had listened to, you mentioned a condition called avoidance attachment disorder.
It's not a disorder, but yeah, avoidant attachment.
Mm-hmm. Personality. And I researched it, and it just seems to fit my husband to a T.
Okay.
Which gave me newfound hope that there's a solution to the problem, and we can move on and live the rest of our years together happily ever after. But I'm stuck now at the point of how do I get him to seek the help, if that's in fact what... Is at the root.
Okay. And just to, for listeners who aren't aware of what avoidant attachment is, so there are different attachment styles. We based on the way we were raised, it sort of forms our attitudes toward relationship in general. And with avoidant attachment, you have a person, you know, who wants to be liked by people but doesn't really know how to be in relationship with people. You know, so they tend to avoid intimacy. They don't talk about their feelings. They don't like to, you know, they don't like to pray together, for example. They don't like to need other people or have other people need them at all. And so they can be very charming, very successful, and they tend to emphasize accomplishment over intimacy. But they tend not to do relationship very well. So the question, you know, how do you get somebody like that to get the help that they need? And it basically comes down to you needing to be the driver in this, because people who are avoidantly attached, they kind of feel like relationship is a threat to them. It makes them feel vulnerable and overwhelmed, and so they don't want to do it. It's painful, right? They can do it. They can learn, but it requires them to run up against something that makes it more painful not to, which means that their partner needs to be learning how to set certain boundaries that really challenge them, that make it impossible for them to continue to avoid learning how to do relationship. So the first step, Adriana, would be to start working with a counselor who is aware of attachment theory and who does attachment-based therapy, and start working individually with that person. You know, invite your husband to join, but chances are he won't do it at first. But you start working with that person to learn how to set the kind of boundaries that need to be set in the relationship that prevent your husband from continuing to engage in these detached behaviors in the relationship, and really kind of raise the stakes that it would make him want to come to counseling with you or feel the need to come to counseling with you. Because right now, the relationship kind of works for him. You know, if he's able to just keep you at a distance, he's comfortable. We need to find ways to prevent him from being able to keep you at that distance that really require him to get the help that he needs. So there are definitely ways to do it. We do that kind of work through our practice at CatholicCounselors.com. So if you'd like to work with us, great. If you'd like to find somebody locally that has those skills, that's fine too. But that's definitely the direction you want to go in. I also want you to check out a book by Tim Clinton called Attachments, which really describes these different attachment styles and gives some initial suggestions for addressing it even on your own. Thanks for the call. We're continuing to take your calls when we come back after this break. Stick around. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popcheck. Discipline is a difficult question to navigate in today's culture. Many parents don't like the idea of corporal punishment, but fear spoiling their children as well. Luckily, the Church has long provided guidance for parents on this subject. In fact, some well-known saints have specifically preached against corporal punishment. St. John Chrysostom wrote, "Accustom your children not to be trained by the rod, for when he feels it, he will learn to despise it. And when he has learned to despise it, he has reduced your system to naught." St. John Bosco wrote, "Force indeed punishes the guilt, but does not heal the guilty. To strike a child in any way must be avoided." Psychology, brain science, and our Catholic faith agree that parents should assume the best, gently correct the wrongdoing, and redirect the child toward more positive behavior. Avoiding force will continue a relationship of trust and mutual respect between you and your child. For more guidance on Catholic parenting, visit moretoliferadio.com.
You feel like you're having a hard time getting the respect that you deserve in that relationship with your child or somewhere else in your life? Are you dealing with problems in your relationships or in your life, and you really need to find solutions so that you can lead a more godly, peaceful, successful, solution-oriented life? Well, that's what we're doing here today. We're helping you find those solutions here on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today's show is titled Seeking Solutions. So if you are having to deal with those problems in your life or relationship that Lisa was just talking about, we want to help you find the next steps to unraveling that knot in your life. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Anne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kansas.
Hey, Anne, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Well, thank you for all that you do. I am calling because I have been dealing with a cousin of mine who has had very high anxiety, and in dealing with her, and she's very needy, but when I try to back off from her, then she comes more clingy and more in need. And I don't want to raise her anxiety up, but she's raising my anxiety to the point where it's like I have to back off from her, but I don't know what's best for her and what I should do for her.
What kind of help is she getting for her anxiety, Anne?
Well, she is seeking psychiatric and help, but they just don't seem to. Because of COVID and everything that's been going on, they can't see her. And so you have to see her, and they're not actually see, and she says, I can't do the computer, I can't, she complains about everything. I can't do any of these things. And
well,
and,
I mean, the fact is she can do those things. She prefers not to, right? And that's an important distinction to make, because, you know, what's happening here is she's asking you for a level of support that's not appropriate for her to ask of you, and that's why it's causing you anxiety. You know, let's make this a medical issue, right? Let's say, God forbid, she had cancer, and she was coming to you and saying, "What should I do about my cancer, Anne?" You know, and you would say, "Well, you need to go to the doctor." And she'd, "Well, I can't figure out that whole computer thing, so I can't. I guess I'm just going to have to talk to you about curing my cancer," and then that would stress you out because you're not an oncologist, right? And it sounds silly when you put it in those terms. But this is the same kind of thing. You know, she needs real professional help. But it's easier to call you and complain about it than it is for her to actually do something.
It gives her a certain sense of relief, just to, please forgive the analogy, it's so awful, but it's really the best one, for her to sort of emotionally vomit on you. It's allowing the pressure cooker valve to release some of that pressure in her life, and she walks away feeling, you know, a couple percentage points less stressed, because she's given it all to you to handle.
Well, you're holding it, and you're covered in her emotional yuck.
Yeah, suddenly your anxiety is risen because she's literally said, "Here, Anne, hold this for me. It's horrible, but just hold it so that I can feel a little bit better. But when you say, how can you support her? You know, look at the very practical things. Can you give her a lesson in how to log on to a Zoom call? Can you be there to help her do that a couple of times so she gets used to it, so she can have a virtual appointment if somebody can't see her face-to-face now, although that's starting to come back? Think about the practical things rather than just being the receiver of all of her emotional stuff.
You can empathize. You can pray with her. You can make suggestions for resources. You can even offer to teach her, like Lisa just said, how to use, you know, Zoom or other video teleconferencing technologies to have more of those professional things. And you can also set boundaries, which means when she starts to really want to unload on you, being able to say, look, that's really something you need to talk to your counselor about. This is not something I can really help you with. We can pray about it. You know, Lord, please bless my cousin and help her to deal with this well and give her the grace she needs to get the help that she needs. Amen. You know, but then you have to say, but, you know, I need to get off the phone because this is something you really need to be talking with your counselor about. And I'd be happy to help you learn how to use those platforms that would allow you to access counseling. But I can't be your counselor. I'm sorry. You know, and I'll leave you with one last metaphor. I mean, again, what's happening here, okay, is let's say you run a clothing store. Your cousin is coming in and saying, where do you keep your toasters? And you're like, well, we don't sell toasters. And she's, but I can't get to the toaster store, so you have to find me a toaster. So now all of a sudden you're supposed to reinvent your business model to accommodate this one customer? I mean, it's a silly metaphor, but I'm trying to show you that she's asking you for stuff you can't give her, which is why you're getting stressed out. And it's not unchristian to give, you know, to draw her a map to where the toaster store is. You don't have to be the one who provides all the services just because she's got reasons she doesn't want to go to the store where she can get the stuff she actually needs. Okay, so provide the empathy, the spiritual support, the guidance you can, but don't hesitate to say that you need to go and put up those boundaries when she starts encroaching on territory that's really best dealt with by the professionals in her life. We do talk about this, Anne, in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. We have chapters in there on psychological, physical, relational and spiritual antidotes to anxiety. And in the relationship chapters, we talk about these exact kinds of situations that you're describing, where people are trying to put on us things that we can't do and how that causes anxiety and what kind of boundaries do we need to set to be charitable but still protect ourselves from those unhealthy dynamics. So I really encourage you to follow up with the book Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, for ways to kind of take down that stress in your own life and maybe make some suggestions to her for how she can deal more effectively with her anxiety in addition to the psychiatric and counseling support that your cousin's getting. And thank you so much for the call. And if there is more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. That book, once more, Unworried, is available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about seeking solutions to the problems in your life or relationships that you just don't know what to do about. You know, maybe you've tried to address the issue and it's been unsuccessful. Maybe it's just made it worse. That tends to happen from time to time. Whatever the situation is, let us help you identify the next steps to graceful, effective solutions. 877-573-7825.
Let's go to our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. We're going to ask you to turn down your radio so that your feedback isn't delayed and messes up what you're trying to hear us do say to you.
Full speaker. Is this better?
There you go.
Sounds better so far. Go ahead now.
Well, I don't even know where to begin. I have a 19-year-old daughter who has always been, you know, a good, a great kid. Didn't do bad in school, you know, did nothing out of the ordinary, until she found this boyfriend. She's graduated now. I noticed the signs immediately. Manipulates things to try to get her to be a new that she wants. We don't see her anymore, any holidays, anything. She still lives at home, but she leaves as soon as possible. It started with last Thanksgiving. This past Thanksgiving, we thought we were all going to have a meal together, and we knew she was going to go with him to his family's house. So we did our meal early. But then she, like, gets in the shower and starts getting ready, and we're like, the food's already ready.
How does she go?
We told you this.
She take her car or something? Or what, how does she go?
No, he picks her up.
Mm-hmm.
He picks her up.
And
it used to be I would give her a ride, but not always.
And is her dad involved in this at all, or is he, you have a...
yes, and, I mean, he's here, but he's pretty, like, he when need be, he will, you know, speak up and say something. I don't know.
You're saying your husband's checked out.
In a way, I feel like he leaves a lot of the... We have two other younger children, and a lot of times it's up to me to be the bad guy.
to just be the adult.
Yeah, it sounds like it's up to you to do everything. If he's not really caring about where his daughter is or what the relationship is.
So
like.
Let me ask you.
Well, I can't blame it all on him because I think I was also like I didn't know where. Like, I didn't, she thought it was, she started saying, well, y'all just don't want me to do this. And then his mother got involved and then was saying, you need to learn to let go. You know, they're going to fly the coop, whatever. But I said, I understand that. But we have rules in our house and we don't charge a rent. So, you know, this is one of the things. And I started.
So I got to say, I'm sorry to jump in, but I just got to say, this is a bigger problem than we can deal with in, you know, the 3 or 4 minutes that we've got on the air. The real issue here is that, you know, there's a deeper relationship problem between your daughter and you and your husband, okay? Kids don't get to a place where they're in such a hurry to get out of the house every day unless there's something in the house that they need to get away from, okay? So the boyfriend, you know, he's the tip of the iceberg. You know, she sees him as her ticket out of whatever the problem is she's having at home. And, you know, she might have been a good kid in the sense she didn't get into any trouble, but that's different from being a good kid. That's a kid who you know isn't in trouble, but doesn't necessarily have good character or know how to lead a healthy, godly life. And you know, so what's happened here is there was a big vacuum that this boyfriend filled. Now, and on top of that, there are clearly, you know, issues that she's running away from at home, and I don't know what those things are. But I think that you might have a sense of what they might be.
Yeah, it sounds like you do. And you know, this is a kid who maybe followed the rules, and because she followed the rules, nobody really shook anything up to develop a deeper relationship, to have the kind of relationships where you guys could mentor her. You didn't step into the discipling or mentorship or building a relationship and friendship that would work from being a kid to moving into adulthood. And so where your mother-in-law is saying, well, you have to let her fly. Well, yeah, she's 19 and she's an adult and she needs to head in that direction. But
not
you
even
want
mother-in-law, but the boyfriend's mother. But yeah.
Oh, was it the boyfriend's
yeah,
mother?
Sorry,
I apologize. And you know, that's true to a point. But when we allow our kids to launch and help them to launch, it also means that they are still part of our lives, tethered to us in a way that they want to work out, oh, well, how are we celebrating holidays together? How are we getting some time together? Because you guys are important to me. And that part of the relationship, I think just because she was, in quotes, an easier kid, has been neglected until now.
Now, you know, I can hear some listeners in my head saying, well, why don't you charge her rent, or why don't you bring the hammer down? And, you know, that may be appropriate in certain situations, may even be appropriate in this situation. But the other concern of that is if you don't build relationship but just bring the hammer down, then she just leaves the house and you lose her forever.
Mm-hmm.
I, not just you, but I mean she loses her soul, right? And so it's a delicate situation, which is why I'm going to recommend that you and your husband, get into some family counseling to start addressing these deeper issues that she's running away from in the home, right? It's not really about the boyfriend. The boyfriend is, in her mind, the way out of dealing with the stuff that she's got going on at home with you guys. I want you to pick up two books. One is by Gordon Neufeld. It's called Hold On to Your Kids, which is all about creating attachment in relations with your adolescent kids and how to address the kinds of issues that you're dealing with right here. We also talk about some of this in our book, the brand new edition of Parenting Your Teens with Grace, which you can pick up at our Sunday Visitor or at CatholicCounselors.com. But, you know, this is not about just setting limits with the boyfriend. This is about really becoming more confident in your own role as a parent, healing your relationship with your husband so that he doesn't just offload all this to you, identifying the issues that she's running away from at home, and really dealing with the core issues here that have been unmet for years. I realize this is a kind of identifying a bigger problem than you were expecting to have to deal with, but you know, there's no other way around this. This is not just about your daughter being disrespectful or running, you know, with a boyfriend. She's running away from something at home, and you guys need to deal with that. With that, we got to go to break. We are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. As we head out to break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Jeremiah 29:11.
Know well the plans I have in mind for you, plans for your welfare and not for your woe, so as to give you a future of hope.
Amen. You know, the plans that God has for us are plans for our welfare, not for our woe. When we bring these concerns to the Lord, we need to be confident that He is going to lead us step by step to the solutions that we're seeking. And the best way to do that, you know, and again, God receives whatever prayers we want to give Him. But instead of just saying, Lord, take this away, Lord, save me, Lord, take, you know, Lord, make this happen, better to say, Lord, teach me how to respond to this challenge in a way that will glorify you, work for the good of the people involved, and help me learn to be the person you want me to be through it. And when we do that, what we're really asking God is to teach us to cooperate with His grace. And that's the best kind of prayer of all. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about dealing with those challenges you just don't know what to do about. If you're seeking solutions, we are here for you. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after this.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Our show today, Seeking Solutions, as we help you find the answers to the problems you're facing in your life or relationships. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Sharon, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska on Spirit Catholic Radio.
Hey, Sharon. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. I have a 50-year-old daughter, and it seems like we just butt heads. My sense is that she has a compulsive disorder, you know, and I don't know how to deal with that.
So she's 50, so has this been going on for a while, or is this a brand new thing?
Oh, no. I mean, she has kids that are in their 20s, and it's been going on since they were babies, and it started right then. I went to visit her. We didn't have a good relationship because of a divorce, and she left home. But
okay, hold on a second. So you and your husband got divorced, left home, and things have been difficult and strained between you and your daughter since that time,
but
correct?
Yeah, that was years ago, because she's, mm-hmm. you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but I noticed that when I went to visit her when they were babies, her kids were babies, I tried to help her because she just had a baby. And, you know, put the bottles away, and I didn't match the caps right with the blue bottles, the red bottles. And, you know, we're talking now 30 years later, and I was there with Easter, and I was helping her do dishes and putting the hot pads hanging up on the hooks, and I put the hot pads, I didn't put them in the right order. Green went with green, and the same way with her canned goods, you know, they all have to be, you know, facing this direction and that.
Okay.
I actually have sat down with her and said, I think you have a compulsive disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And she just laughs it off because she just thinks that's good. In society, you know, if you work at that and you do everything precisely, you get kind of, you know, commended for it.
So, so talk to me about, it sounds like there's some distance here, like physical distance. How often do you see her? How often do you have contact with her? And what is that? What is that like?
Well, she only lives about a mile away from me.
Oh, okay, never mind. All right.
And so...
So how often do you see her?
But I distance myself from her. Uh-huh. And just like this morning, she wanted me to stop over and see a new bike that she bought for her daughter. And she was getting ready to go to school. And I said, well, I'll wait for her for this. She said, no, just listen to me. Come in the house. And I said, what are you screaming and yelling about? And... You know, we went out to the backyard so she could show me the new bike, but the bus was coming, and I said, calm down, because that's what she's always telling me when I get upset. But it doesn't work both ways for her, seems to me. And I said, there's really a mess back here. And then she just, if I say one negative thing, she goes off. You don't support me. All I want you to do is support me. All I want you to do is...
So let's say you have a blow-up like that, okay? So she goes off on you like that. How long does that last? It sounds to me like it you recover pretty quickly from it and just she goes on as if nothing ever happened.
I just get to the point where I that's why I start avoiding her until everything calms down and, you know.
Okay.
And it's
so
like there's
here's
nothing
the, here's,
happened.
Yeah, so here's, yeah, so like I said, it blows over and you don't hold her accountable and she doesn't ever bring it up again. She just loses it and there's no... If you want to see any change in this situation, there's going to have to be some accountability. In a healthy relationship, when, you know, we all lose it sometimes, we all say things that are hurtful or step on each other's toes, and when that happens, there has to be an apology, right? There has to be some kind of repair to the relationship, and that's not happening here. You know, you're a little afraid to hold her accountable. She doesn't know what it means to be held accountable. She just wants to move on with stuff, and so she is a verbally abusive person. And may very well be dealing with the obsessive compulsive stuff that you're talking about and all that, but that's neither here nor there for your relationship with her. You know, she can have whatever issues she's got. She can still be respectful to her mom. So what I guess I'm trying to say here is that you have an absolute right when she acts that way to say, listen, I love you and I want to be here for you, but I can't be here for you when you talk to me that way. I need to go. And then you hang up the phone. If better still is to say, you know, I really can't re-engage here until you can apologize for the way you treated me the last time. So if she reaches out to you, the first, you know, if she says, hey, I want you to come and see the bike, you know, the first thing you say is, I would love to come and see the bike, but you know, last time you were really hard on me, you were really mean, and I love you and I want to be there for you. I want to come and see the bike, but you know, I need you to apologize for the way that you acted because it's just, I don't feel safe coming around you when you're like that. And I need to know that you're willing to try to control it for me. Now, she may lose it on you at that point, at which point you say, I understand this is hard for you to hear, and I love you with all my heart. I'll talk to you later. And then you hang up. And the next time she calls, or the next time you see her, the first thing out of your mouth is, I'm really glad to be here. I'm glad to see you. I love you with all my heart. But I really need you to apologize for the way you were treating me the last time. You see, my point is, you are using that broken record technique and not letting her just move on and pretend as if nothing ever happened. That is the loving response because you're working for her good. Now, I realize that causes a little more drama for you, but the reality is, it's going to cause less drama than, you know, another 50 years of dealing with this kind of behavior from her. You need to learn to set that limit that calls her to be a better person. And not just enable her in this abusive behavior that she's indulging in. And we do talk about setting these kinds of boundaries in both God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, and the book I recommended earlier, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, in the relationship chapter on setting boundaries to prevent anxiety. Sharon, I really recommend that you pick up both of those resources. I think it'll be a big blessing to you. I'm glad you called, and we will certainly add your family to our More to Life prayer list. And folks, thank you for allowing us to walk along with you during this part of your journey. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to the many resources we have for you at CatholicCounselors.com.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.